This is Pastor Bob Spagnolo of the Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas, wishing you a wonderful good afternoon. We hope and pray that earlier today you were in God's house, and maybe for those of you who still have a Sunday evening service, we pray that the Lord would richly bless you as you come together as a church family, as you ought to, on this, the day that God has chosen for us to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you have a trusty King James Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. And my desire, hopefully, is to finish up chapter 5 today. I make no promises, but that's my goal, and hopefully I can achieve that. Father, we come again in your presence to ask you to lead, guide, and direct us in your word. Help me to be faithful and true to the text, not to wander aimlessly into the teachings of men or to the traditions of men, but to let Scripture define itself. In Christ's name, amen. Hebrews 5, 11 to 14 reads as follows, "Of whom we have many things to say." The author here of Hebrews is referring to Melchizedek, who is briefly introduced here in chapter 5 and will be introduced again in chapter 7, of whom, that's Melchizedek, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So verse 13 is not praise, it's not commendation, it's a rebuke. But strong meat, now here comes the praise and the commendation. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. And we're going to look hopefully into that term. Even those, so now he's going to describe biblically what it means to be of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses, meaning their ability to think and reason and to discern, have their senses exercised. So it's something that they do on a regular basis, just like those of you that may have a subscription to a local gymnasium or to a local place where you work out. Well, when you go to such a place, what do? You go there to exercise. And when you exercise, you're trying to build muscle. You're trying to build stamina and endurance, right? That's the long-term goal, the long-term benefit. Who, by reason of, have their senses exercised to judge. Notice, to judge. So Christians are to judge both good and evil. So verses 14 here is telling us that one of the distinctions between a baby in the Lord and someone who is full age, the person who is mature, of full age, is able to easily recognize and distinguish between what the Bible tells us, not what society tells us, but what the Bible determines what is good and beneficial versus what is evil and detrimental. The Bible makes that determination. God makes that determination, not a gaggle of people who vote on different moral issues and it's the majority that's going to win out in the end. No, God determines what is good and beneficial, what is evil and not beneficial. Well, the last time we got together, very, very quickly, we looked at the term strong meat, which is found there in verse 12. Strong meat. We looked at the fact that that word strong means something that's firm, it's immovable, it's solid, it's hard, it's rigid, it's steadfast. And that Greek word is found only four times in the New Testament, twice in Hebrews. Hebrews 5:12 and Hebrews 5:14. It's seen in 2 Timothy 2:19, where it's translated sure. For the foundation of God is sure, it's strong, it's immovable, it's impregnable. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 9, to be steadfast in our resistance against the evil one. And then meat, whenever meat is used figuratively or metaphorically, it is denoting spiritual food, spiritual nourishment. And this word here is used only two times, Hebrews 5, verses 12 and 14. Then we saw, metaphorically speaking, when the word child here is used, okay, when it says that he's a babe, metaphorically speaking, we're talking about a child, an infant, a little child, a minor, not of age, childish, untaught, unskilled. Okay? So that's what it means when the Bible refers to someone whose spiritual diet is limited to milk and they are somewhat hesitant or afraid. Some people who call themselves Christians, they are really afraid to study the deep things of God. Somehow they got a fear of it. Maybe they have a fear that they can't handle it themselves, or maybe they might get involved in some erroneous doctrine. So they're more content to be in the 2 feet of the swimming pool, and they don't feel like going off the diving board and heading into that 12-foot depth and getting lost in God's word, in a figure of speech. Now, this idea of growth from babe to full age, if you hold your place here, I don't think I had time last time, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There is something radically wrong, radically defective, in someone who calls themselves a Christian and they are content to drink milk the rest of their spiritual pilgrimage. They reach a certain spiritual plateau and they're happy where they're at, and they really don't want to be bothered with anything that's going to challenge their mind. Well, unfortunately, the church is full of people like this. And if you're going to remain a babe, you're not going to become an asset for any church family. You're going to be the one constantly being ministered to. And you're never going to reach a certain level where you are able to minister to other ones who are babes. Look at this idea of growth. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and following. And this is the gifts that God and Christ has given to the church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So verses 11 are different offices. Now, I'll be right up front. The apostolic office and the prophetic office are no longer with us. Irregardless of the prosperity preachers, irregardless of the holiness movement, the Pentecostal or the oneness Pentecostal, or the new so-called reformed apostolic movement, all these movements that we have today, people claiming to be apostles, people claiming to have a direct line to heaven, that apostolic office died out when the last apostle died out in the first century. However, the other offices are still applicable: evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, what is their job? What is their function? Well, it's not bedside counseling. It's not to be an entertainer or an administrator. Not somebody that's going to come up with new ideas to draw a crowd and expand the church's membership roles. What is the function of these three other offices? Well, it says quite plainly, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfection. Maturity. Going on to full age. for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, the body of Christ is the local church. It is not denominational headquarters. Okay? The body of Christ is the local churches that are peppered across this world. They're all attached to Christ. He's the head. They represent his body. Well, notice the two words that are found in that verse 12. You got the word perfecting and the word edifying. Well, that denotes growth. That denotes a consistent progression from the crib, spiritual infancy, to spiritual adulthood in Christ. Becoming mature, full age, or as Hebrews puts it, able to discern what is biblically good and what is biblically designated as evil. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now that's another goal besides perfecting and edifying. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's a good cross-reference to John 17 and 3. What is everlasting life? To know who God is and to know whom God has sent. And that is the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. There it goes again. Full age. Maturity. We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're not advocating that in the life of a Christian, he or she eventually ceases to be sinful or ceases to commit any sin. We're not advocating that. That's not the teaching. The teaching here is from infancy to manhood. And everyone who's alive today, physically speaking, went from being a babe in his mother's arms to being a full adult, recognized as such at a certain age, but then they had the mental aptitude and the physical ability to live the life of a young adult and then to go on to full maturity. A perfect man unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, notice this now, that we henceforth be no more children or babies, the milk drinkers. And notice how Paul describes a child, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 14 is a good cross-reference to Hebrews chapter 5, 11 to 14. A babe is one who will wave his doctrinal flag or flags at different times and for different reasons. Meaning, they can change their doctrine like Kansas weather can be changed within hours. There's no stability. There's no grounding. They're not strong. They are impressionable. And therefore, with every wind of doctrine, just because somebody is a gifted orator, just because somebody is internationally well known, just because somebody has written so many books and has a study Bible with their name attached to the front cover, they make this person into a Protestant pope, as if this person speaks with the same infallibility as the Pope of Rome when he sits upon his chair. Ex cathedra, whatever flows out of his mouth automatically is deemed to be the truth. No discernment on whether or not this individual might be teaching falsehood. No. This person is a good person, and they're never going to be wrong. They're never going to lead me astray. Well, if you think that way, you are already vulnerable, and you are easy pickings when it comes to the cults if you're not grounded. Well, let's go back now to Hebrews 5. And then we also mentioned last week the term unskillful in that verse 13. Somebody who's inexperienced, okay? Inexperience is only used once here in the entire New Testament, the word that is translated here, unskillful. One who is inexperienced or someone who is without experience. So we're talking about an infant, we're talking about a child, we're talking about somebody who's immature, doesn't have the experience of an adult, not to make bad decisions or bad choices. Well, with that in mind, let's now continue in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Full age. Now, listen to the definition and the nuances, and then we're going to do a word study. This full age, what does it mean? Okay? It means to be brought to an end. Now stop and think about the physical growth of the body as we enter this world from our mother's womb. Now I'm 68 years old, be 69 in just a few months. Well, I'm no longer in my mother's womb. I'm no longer in a crib. I don't need someone to change a diaper. I don't need someone to grind my food down. Not yet, maybe in older age, but I would be classified as a fully mature male, a fully mature man. I'm no longer a child. I have been brought to a certain end, physically. Now what about mentally? Just because somebody is 50 doesn't mean that they're fully mature. They can have the body of a 50 or older, but they may have the intellect, not because of any handicap, but they're just plumb silly. They want to remain a child, right? So they think like a child. They act like a child. They act very immature, whether in public or in private. But hopefully, all of us, mentally speaking, eventually are brought to an end. In the sense, we no longer think as a child. Paul even uses that same terminology in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted, I played as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Did not Paul say that in 1 Corinthians 13? He's talking about a growth process. He's been brought to an end. Now listen to this one. Another nuance to this word, translated full age, means nothing is needed for completion. Now that's interesting. It means to be perfect, it means to be mature, and it means to be an adult. Now, let's see how this word is used. Get your Bibles and let's do a little word study. And all these are in order, so you won't be flipping too much. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look how this phrase, which is translated full age in Hebrews 5:14, let's do a word study and let's see how the translators took that same word and how it was translated based on the context of where it's found. Look at verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. There it is, the same word. Full age. Brought to an end. Nothing needed for completion. Perfect. Mature. Adulthood. So we're told to go on to adulthood. We're told to go on to full age, from infancy to full age. Look at Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. Matthew 19 and verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Whoa! I think this is the rich young ruler, comes to Jesus, and says in verse 16, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What must I do to be saved? And then Jesus begins to toy with the man, brings forth the law of God, okay? And this guy says, well, from my youth up, I have kept all that. Well, Jesus then goes for the jugular. And he utters those words in verse 21. Okay, if you want to be perfect then, sell all that you have, pick up a cross, forward march, follow me. And then look at verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wanted to remain lost. He wanted to remain in his lost, babyish, comfortable position. He did not want to go on with Jesus. He didn't want to go on to full completion. Okay? The term, full age, same word. Let's go to Romans 12. I imagine some of you have this memorized. You may have it as a 3x5 card. maybe attached to a magnet on some refrigerator, or maybe it's on a beautiful wall plaque, or maybe your pastor preached this particular verse earlier today. Ready? I beseech you therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that ye may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, and acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now notice, because my mind is being renewed by the means of God's word and all the other means of grace, and also having a good church family with a real pastor that does his job and is honest to his calling to feed me, I'm going to have a mind that's able to prove, meaning put to the test, make a judgment call, be discerning. I'm not going to believe anything that comes down the highway just because it has a cross attached to its neck. No, I'm going to put it under the microscope of God's word. I'm going to be Berean. I'm not going to fall for anything that comes down the highway packing a Bible, okay, and having a piece of jewelry around my neck with a gold-studded cross attached to that chain. No. I'm going to prove. Prove what? What is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a lot of people today going around telling you what God's will is for your life. And I would imagine 9 out of 10 times what they're telling you is not even found in the Bible. But the babe in Christ is going to fall for such people. They're going to fall for that slick talker who's going to go around telling them this is God's will for your life. No, you discover God's will for your life by being acquainted with the Bible and having your mind renewed by that word. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. So you see how this word is being used? It definitely is not pointing to immaturity, but it's pointing to a level of maturity, adulthood, spiritual adulthood. 1 Corinthians 13, 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And for me personally, I believe that which is perfect, which was about to come and become a reality, was the New Testament canon as it was being written and developed and distributed and recopied from church to church during that first century. Has no reference here to the second coming. But I believe it has reference. That which is in part is talking about those unique apostolic gifts that the apostles and prophets only had. And when they died off the scene, those unique gifts, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, a spirit of discernment where Peter could look at Ananias and Sapphira and tell right off the bat that they had lied to the Holy Spirit about the money that they sold or that land that they sold back in Acts chapter 5. How did Peter know that they had lied to God the Holy Spirit? Well, that spirit of discernment was given to Peter right on the spot. Another example was Acts chapter 8 when Peter told Simon Mangus, who wanted to offer money to acquire the laying on of hands and passing on the gift of the Holy Spirit during this transitional period there in the book of Acts, Peter told him, you and your money are going to hell. Well, how did Peter know that? The spirit of discernment. Well, that gift is no longer with us. I cannot look in anyone's heart and discern whether they're pulling my leg or whether they're telling the truth. And neither can you do that. That gift is gone. But that which is perfect, when it did come, which is the New Testament canon, those other apostolic or those unique sign gifts also diminished in the course of time. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 20. Now, to me, this is a beautiful cross-reference to Hebrews 5. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Be men. Full age. Maturity. That verse 20 would be a good side cross-reference to the issue there in Hebrews 5. Many of those that the writer of Hebrews is rebuking, he says, what, you're dull of hearing. I can't even present anything further about Melchizedek because you don't have the capacity to hear it and to decipher it and to understand it. Colossians 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who was one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete, now get that, in all the will of God. And what is one of the definitions that seems to be strange? Nothing needed to be completed. And here's an example of that concept. You are so well-rounded in your understanding. There's nothing more to be added to your maturity. You have arrived in that sense. Not to sinless perfection, but able to discern the point, the context in that Hebrews 5, the ability to discern, the ability to judge, the ability to determine what God has declared to be good. Not the consensus of society, what God has determined to be good and what God has determined to be evil. And when you reach that level and you begin to tell other people this is good and that's evil, and since they lack that ability, they're going to look at you as a Pharisee. They're going to call you legalistic. They're going to call you puritanical. They're going to call you a dinosaur. And they're going to then they're going to drop you as being a friend there on Facebook, because they post something about themselves that's so asinine, and you come along and you post a little rebuttal or a comment, and their skin is so thin that they whine and groan because they need their mental diaper to be changed, because they can't hack the truth. They can't handle the truth. Why? They don't have the ability for discerning what is good and evil from a biblical point of view. Hebrews 9. And beloved, I'm just giving you just a few of the references where the term full age is used. I just sat down and picked out a few here. Hebrews 9, look at verse 11. 9:11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Notice when it talks about the body of Jesus, his body was a perfect tabernacle, which means nothing needed for him to be complete. He was complete right in the womb. You get the concept now of what it means to be a full age? And one more, James 3, James chapter 3, and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Wow. You want to know whether you're mature enough? How's your words? Now, are they offensive for no good reason? Because you did it while in the flesh. Now, it's one thing to tell the truth and cause people to be offended. That's not what James here is referring. It's referring to the improper use of our words. The untimely word that doesn't need to be said, but it flies out of our kisser. The same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, that's maturity. It's for someone that's able to control his own mouth. Okay, to know when to speak and when not to speak. Okay, and when he speaks, what to say. and how to say it with grace and with truth, seasoned with salt, as Paul tells us. Okay, well, let's go back to Hebrews 5. So now we found out what it means by full age. After a while, I feel as though that I can't exhaust any more of the English language trying to distinguish between what's a baby and what's an adult. You get all these different terms, full age, maturity, one who's able to discern fully and adequately. Okay, he's complete. I mean, I find myself running out of terms in the English language, but hopefully you understand what I'm driving at. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. This word reason literally means, now listen carefully, it says by reason. You can say the following three expressions and get the point. By reason, or by means of, or on account of, or because of. So let's go back. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, on account of use, or by means of use, or because of use, have their senses, their reasoning faculty, their mind, exercise to discern both good and evil. Now, the word of use, it's only found one time in the whole New Testament, right here. So this is easy word study. What does it mean in the Greek? Ready? Number one, it refers to something that is a habit. A habit. Or, get this, something that is acquired by custom or by practice. Okay? Now, my wife, when it comes to crocheting, she's been crocheting ever since she learned that beautiful skill from one of her grandmothers. And up to this point, she's in her latter part of her 60s, just like me. She can take a pattern, take a bunch of yarn. Sometimes she even corrects the patterns that is found in a magazine, because whoever wrote the pattern didn't write a good job in explaining the different types of stitches, or whatever they call it. My wife is at the point now, because of all of the years of use and the acquirement of her talent and her gift that God has given to her, she can produce some very beautiful stuff. Sometimes she'll look at a pattern and make changes from the original pattern and go in a different direction, and the product comes out beautiful, fit to be used, or fit to be worn. Well, that's the word here. Use. So, a baby Christian then is somebody that you have to prod and poke along to get in the Bible to read. You gotta poke and prod them to go to church. Okay? Going to church consistently is not a habitual thing that they do. They rather sleep in or make all kinds of excuses why they can't go to church. But they can go to movies, and they can go to concerts. They can go to baseball games, football games, hockey games. They can go to a wrestling match. They can go to a boxing match. They can go to a concert. They can stand in line for hours in the cold, in the rain, in the snow on Black Friday, so they can run into Walmart and buy the latest toy that's on sale. They can do all of those things without being prodded and poked along. But when it comes to getting in the Bible and reading, or maybe you give these people a good book for them to read, and then after several encounters, you ask them, well, how are things going reading in the book? And they ask you, what book? Well, it's already off the radar screen. And these are the same people that whine, and they will whine and complain and groan on why they find themselves, spiritually speaking, all over the radar with their emotions. One day they're up, one day they're down. One day they think God is not out there, the next day they're all giddy and gay. You know, Jesus is like flavored bubbly water. Jesus is my friend. Then 2 days later, I don't think Jesus loves me. Why are they all over the radar screen? Because they're babies. They're infants. They're sucking on the milk. They have no desire to grow up. They rather stay in the crib and play with spiritual blocks. Okay? They'd rather play with spiritual Mr. Potato Head than to get out of the crib and get out of their diapers, be a man, be a woman, stand tall, stand strong, and become full age. There's no habits. Going to church, hit and miss. Going to the prayer meeting, hit and miss. Reading the Bible, hit and miss. Studying the Bible, hit and miss. But, they can go fishing, they can go camping, they can go to a concert, they can go to a game, and they can spend hours shopping at Hobby Lobby, and Walmart, and Costco, and whatever. But go to church all the time on Sunday, habitually. Read my Bible habitually. Go to the prayer meeting habitually. Fellowship with God's people habitually. But they can spend hours on end with the unbelievers. Something's wrong with that person. One, maybe they're not even saved. Or two, they're saved, but they're very attached to their crib. And they're attached to their spiritual diapers. They don't want to grow up. Well, beloved, with such a person, a pastor is not a magician. Someone like that is very hard to work with or to work for them. You didn't realize verse 14 was not really a charm, is it? But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason or because of use, have their senses exercise. Well, guess what? This is an easy word study. That word's only found once. Senses. And what does it mean? Listen carefully. The faculty of mind for perceiving. It refers to one's understanding. And then we come to the dirty word, one's judgment, the faculty that causes one to make a determination, their senses, their mind, their knowledge, their understanding. So let's all put it together. If a person chooses to be a babe in Christ, then they have chosen to divorce themselves from the scriptures in such a way that when you come to them with a desire to encourage them to grow up and you want to bring a certain doctrine or a certain topic from the Bible, they can't handle it. They can't handle it. They get squeamish. They squirm. They make all kinds of excuses why they can't see it. They do everything in their power to basically stifle the one who is of full age in helping them to get out of the crib. They'll whine, they will complain, they will groan. And when you want to set up another meeting, well, I'll get with you. I have to check my calendar. And then they never get with you. And so that person really had no desire at all to get into the scriptures. On the other hand, the person who is fully mature, man, oh, they are eagerly waiting on Sunday. Sunday is a very special day for them. They've put in probably 5 or 6 days of working on the job. They have bumped shoulders with the unbelievers. They've been in the world, but not of the world. And now they go to church to be what? Invigorated, strengthened, provoked, encouraged, rebuked if need be. And they receive it as such. They don't receive it as poison from the pulpit, but they receive it as meat. They receive it as strong meat that's going to enable them to go back on the job the next day and bounce shoulders and rub shoulders with the world, but not to become part of the world. That's the difference between the baby or the milk sucker versus the meat eater. Now, notice, by reason of use, have their senses exercised. Now, this word is found in at least four places here, and I'm going to give you the other three in just a moment. But listen to the definition, okay? And everything by now should be clicking. Things should be clicking in your mind. If it's not clicking, then you're a babe. If you're full age, things ought to be clicking when I give you the definition. Here it comes. The word that is translated, exercise, comes from a word that denotes sport players who exercised in the naked. Now, this is a word used of, in the ancient world, those who went to the arena, like the gladiators and those who did like the Olympic Games, they didn't have too much clothing on because they didn't want any obstructions, like a flapping robe or to readjust a sash or to readjust a belt. They practiced with their birthday suits. However, the word has the connotation to exercise vigorously both in mind and body. Now, have things begun to click when you compare the babe and how they dodged the bullet to get in the arena and practice? They don't want to get in the Bible and go beyond, you know, Psalm 23 or maybe the Lord's model prayer. They don't want to go beyond any of that, you know. John 3:16 is good enough for me. That's all I need to know of the Bible. But this word exercise means to exercise, listen, vigorously. Vigorously. Now you can supply your own synonyms. What synonym comes to your mind on the word vigorously? And the word was used to denote this exercising vigorously in the mind as well as in the body. You got to realize that those in the first century who were in sports competition, not only did they get their bodies trained and the muscles built up, they learned to psych out their mind towards their opponent. When they went into the arena to win that wreath around their noggin, that little gray branch saying that you came in first place, they also were learning vigorously the tactics of their opponent and how to mentally win the battle, not only with their muscle in their bone structure and their sinewin, but how to outsmart their opponent in movements with the mind. And so what am I saying as far as a Christian? And hopefully I'm making sense, and hopefully this ain't bouncing off your heads like radar off of a bat. You have to know your enemy. You have to know the red dragon, that roaring lion. You have to understand his mental mind, how he thinks, in order to trip up you and I. What does Paul say? We are not ignorant of his devices. And in the Greek, that is the word schema. And we get our English word, schemes. Are you with me? Is the dots connecting finally, as we finally end chapter 5? Are you mature enough, beloved, not to be hoodwinked by the roaring lion or by the slick-talking preacher who claims that God speaks to him every night, and this person knows God's will for your life since you don't? Well, let's see where this word is used. Are you ready? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Well, let's go to, since we're in Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. And look at verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Here the author here is using the earthly image of a father who needs to discipline a child because that child has broken maybe one of the house rules or whatever. Now no chastening or disciplining for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The fruit of righteousness, good works, good deeds, is something, beloved, that the child of God is to exercise, to produce. You got to exercise vigorously in your mind and in your studies and in your Bible knowledge so that you will produce the fruit or the fruits of righteousness. Since we're this part on the end of the Bible, turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Now this is in the negative connotation, talking about false teachers and prophets back in the first century, as we have many today in the 21st century, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised. These people have been vigorously working on their depravity with covetous practices, cursed children. Notice the word here is used in the negative connotation. So it's possible to exercise vigorously when it comes to evil, just as much as it is possible to exercise vigorously in that which is good and biblical and honoring to God. And then 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4 in verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fable, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise yourself unto godliness. So we're to go into the spiritual gymnasium, if you will, and get a whole bunch of those spiritual barbells, which is book, chapter, and verse. You got 66 books to exercise on. You got scores and scores of chapters to exercise on. You got hundreds and hundreds of verses to exercise on. So you go into the spiritual gymnasium of God's gymnasium, and you dive into the Bible, and you exercise, just like a first century athlete that would go into the arena with no obstructions wrapped around his body and exercise and train and train and train both body and mind and soul. And when the time for the competition, that person was ready for competition and to outsmart his opponent and to bring his opponent down. Just to earn a green wreath on his head. And here we are. God wants us to do that so that he would place a crown on our heads. Well, you think I can do it? I got all my little notes here. Look at this here. All these little notes in order to feed God's people. And so let's now end it. Hebrews 5. What are we supposed to exercise ourselves unto? What's all the hubbub here in Hebrews? What's all this thing about immaturity versus maturity, a baby versus an adult? But strong meat belonging to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, habitual use, have their senses vigorously exercised to discern. And the word discern there means to pass judgment, to make an evaluation, to determine something, up or down, left or right, to discern what? Both, and the Greek word here means at the same time, meaning it's not simply, well, I'm going to understand what is good, and that's all my lesson for today is, no, you have to understand what good and evil is at the same time to make that distinction. Well, what in the world does the Bible mean here? I want to close when it says something which is good. Listen carefully to the definition, the extensive definition of this word that is translated. Listen carefully. I'm going to read it. Beautiful, handsome, excellent, eminent, choice, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable, commendable, admirable, beautiful to look at, shapely, magnificent, good, excellent in its nature and characteristics, therefore well adapted to its end, genuine, approved, precious. Beautiful, handsome, excellent, eminent, choice, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable, commendable, admirable, beautiful to look at, shapely, magnificent, good, excellent in its nature and characteristics, therefore well adapted to its end, genuine, approved, precious, joined to names of men distinguished by their office, competent, able, such as ought to be, praiseworthy, noble, beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, and hence praiseworthy, morally good, noble, honorable, conferring honor, affecting the mind, agreeably, comforting, conforming. Joined to names of men distinguished by their office, competent, able, such as one ought to be praiseworthy and noble, beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, hence praiseworthy, morally good, noble, honorable, conferring honor, affecting the mind agreeably, comforting and confirming. A baby can't do that. A baby in the physical realm can't even do that yet. They lack the capacity. But for someone who claims to be a child of God, and they can't make this distinction from the scriptures about life and then life choices, it's because they're sucking milk and they haven't delved into the meat. Well, what about evil? I'm glad you asked. Ah, here it is. Evil. Ready? Of a bad nature, not such as ought to be. Of a mode of thinking, feeling, and acting, base, wrong, wicked, troublesome, injurious, pernicious, destructive, baneful. Short and sweet, but notice all that was said about that which is good. Now, I got just a few minutes. Let me show you quickly Mark chapter 7 on this idea of evil. I want to finish. I'm watching my time. The clock has no mercy. Mark 7, verse 21. Look at verse 20. And Jesus said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. The question here was about washing, ceremonial bathing. Okay. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, and murders. You see the word evil here? Same Greek word in Hebrews 5. That last verse. Okay? Mark 15. Mark 15, 14. Mark 15, 14. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. What evil has he done? Romans 1. Romans 1, look at verse 30. Backbiters, haters of God, this is describing those whom God has given over, because they took the truth of God that they once understood and then they perverted it. backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. On and on and on it goes. And so, beloved, we finished chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go back quickly. And what does the writer of Hebrews say? Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing yet ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, after being saved for some 2 or 3 decades, some of you guys were eyewitnesses of Jesus, or at least some of the early disciples that were made in those early chapters in the book of Acts. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the ABCs of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk, watered down milk, 2% milk, skim milk, if you will, is unskillful, they're inexperienced in the word of righteousness, meaning you don't turn them over and have them teach Sunday school class the day after they get saved. Oh no, you're just waiting for a bomb to go off. For he is a babe, he's childish, he's immature, he's inexperienced. But strong, firm, immovable meat belonging to them that are full age, manhood, okay? They can stand on their own 2 feet. They can articulate what they believe and why. Even those who by reason of use, habitual, like going out and working out so many times a week, going to the gym, running, jogging, whatever it takes, lifting weights, whatever, have their senses, their mental faculty, exercised vigorously to judge or to determine at the same time what is biblically good in God's eyes and what is biblically evil in God's eyes. And that which is good, you hang on to it tight. And that which is biblically evil in God's sight, you let it go. You let loose of it. Do not hug it. Don't feed it. Don't sit next to it. Flee from it. Well, beloved, by God's grace, we have finished the first 5 chapters of the book of Hebrews. Well, may the Lord bless you. If I came across too direct and too forceful, I offer no apologies. If this offends you, then that tells me that you're a baby and you're still sucking milk. But if you can handle it, then you have reached full age. Now it's time to go on and get back in the arena and do some more weightlifting when it comes to the scriptures. May God bless you. Amen.